What do you need to open your own burger shop?
Are some easier than other? Yes, absolutely.
Give me more details. It's not like anyone.
Don't do any kind of mistake, which a lot of people do. They have all the finances to open, but they don't have any retention of at least 3 to 6 months to put some
delivery versus not.
Oh.
And probably definitely in 2025, wow, you have to deliver.
These are little tips that you guys.
Welcome to another episode of Burgers Unscripted. We talked burgers, chains. We traveled around the world. And then comes the famous question. What do you need to open your own burger shop? Street food versus gourmet burger shop, food truck, and everything in between. Let's ask the expert.
There's a couple things that need to be done. They're common throughout all of those. One is market research. You need to do your market research, competitors, understand who's around you, what do they have, what do they offer, look at their menu and whatnot to see if you have any differentiation. The other thing is financial investment. You need to make sure that the financial investment is there. Business plan. Business plan that encapsulates everything from your marketing to the capital investments that's required to the equipment, if there's any specialized equipment you needed. And then marketing. I put that as another one, not just in the business plan. So the marketing needs to be there. It's quite crucial. And of course, your equipment / fit out in terms of large main things. Those are the main functions that's required. Of course, when it comes to a food truck, it varies a little bit, but the principle is the same. The food truck is your real estate. The food truck does still require equipment. The food truck still requires an investment, a menu engineering, and competition. And the last big one, I would say, is permits and license that needs to require. Staffing, hiring, all that's part of the business plan and whatnot, but these are the key functions that's required. Are some easier than other? Yes. Are some have a less investment required? Absolutely. But you need to be careful where some things might be less, other things might be higher, such as the food truck could be. Sometimes the food trucks are quite expensive. If you want, you know, proper food truck, everything's embedded, you've got your gas, you've got your AC, you have everything in there, the chillers and whatnot, versus a real estate. Diner. Is it a food court style? Is it a standalone restaurant that requires signage outside, inside, tables? Do you use flatware, silverware? Do you use disposables? So all these things come into your business plan to understand your concept. Once you have your concept and know what that's about, then all these things kind of trickle in place. But like I said, there are standard operating procedures or let's say common denominators throughout all.
Let's start from the beginning. And the minute I decide to open up my shop, the minute I decide to be a burger specialist or a burger restaurateur, how should I start step by step? How many months before the restaurant opens?
I would say 7 to 9 months is required. Have people done it faster? Yes, of course. You know, I've done it, I've did it, I can do it, yes. But if you've got the time and you're starting from scratch, you don't have a location, but don't have the concept. You have a concept, but you don't have a location. If all things are zero, a good 7 to 9 months is healthy. Let me use that. You put your milestone and you start working towards those goals. So you make sure that you have these objectives and try to hit those goals, whether you have partners, whether you're doing it by yourself, and then stop, measure what hasn't been done, what you need to do there, and then move forward.
I ask myself
like
the
project
question,
management, sorry, in a sense.
I ask myself the question, how much money do I need? So when I ask myself, how much money do I need? What is the money? So the money is for investment, the money is for salaries, the money is for marketing. So how much money do I need? So let's imagine a number, a reasonable number to open up a big restaurant. So probably 700,000 dirham, up to 1 million dirhams, down to 500,000 dirhams. So around that range. So when I imagine when I start doing the math and saying, okay, I need that amount, what would it cover?
It should cover everything. And one advice for all those entrepreneurs out there thinking of opening, whether it's a burger or some sort of brick and mortar restaurant or a truck, don't forget a 3 to 6 months operating costs that are there already. Don't do any kind of mistake, which a lot of people do. They have all the finances to open, but they don't have any retention of at least 3 to 6 months to pay the salaries, to pay food supplies and whatnot. So they have everything great. And then they open and sell. When they sell, they put that money in to make sure they do next month. That is a recipe that will be challenging. Let me just say, I don't want to say will destroy you, but it'll be challenging. So you need to have that sort of funding that can give you at least 6 months of operating if nothing happens.
Spot on, and I'll add to that. It's very important to add to your budget 6 months of marketing.
Yes.
Usually you spend all your money on creating your shop. You spend all your money on doing the best out there, probably great kitchen equipment, great clothes, uniforms, everything in between. And then when it comes to marketing, you say, okay, well, out of budget, what can I do? Let's hope it works. So you need to put a big chunk, probably I would say up to 10 to 20% of your original investment that goes on marketing. The minute you open, you might be selling the best burger ever. You might be the best restaurateur ever. You might be the greatest concept creator ever. If people don't know about you, you'll fail.
Yeah, 100%. And to add to this, marketing is not what it used to be, okay? Marketing evolves daily with the use of AI, with the use of social media. It's no longer, you know, back in my day, it was color separation films. We would run to the publication and the public and put it in there and do it black and white or color. Now everything's done instantly, everything's done automatically, everything's done quick. So the game has changed. Let's say the landscape has changed when it comes to marketing. And marketing, as you said, is a crucial part. It used to be the first thing that gets cut in budgets. It's the easiest thing. You're not touching the food, you're not touching the salaries, you're not touching anything. So let's get rid of, let's say, marketing spent, which now more than ever, it directly affects it. Because how many times have you gone online, I was going to say TV, my age, and you scroll and you have how many burgers have opened? Just let's keep on burgers. There are so many. So your field and barriers to entry, as we use those words, is huge. So how are you going to cut through that clutter? And it's not only about marketing online. You have to be clever. You have to be shrewd. You have to be creative on how to get your message out, how to get your product out there. Maybe you use a little bit of old school of tasting, pop-ups, whatnot, to help support underlining. So you've got your pillars of a couple parties or events, whatnot, while you're doing this, which will help tremendously. But I agree, marketing is huge.
Drawing board. So we decided to open a restaurant, you and I. In 6 months, we're going to be ready to operate. We start by taking a white canvas and try drawing. What do we need to start preparing for? How, let's say, would I choose my location and then my equipment?
A couple things. So the first thing to go backwards is to actually put that plan on a piece of paper. It's very important that it's on a piece of paper. It's not just sitting here with the person who wants to do it, or here with the investor, or here with the marketeer, let's say. Put it on paper. Everybody agrees on it, at least has a say on that. This is the plan. Plan can change. Plan can move. Plan can vary. Dates can change and whatnot within our boundaries of our set goals. But it's important to put it on a piece of paper, and you go ahead and identify the key milestone that we're going to have at least options of location by this date. We're going to secure this much funding by this date. Before all that, the concept is approved, even a tentative menu. What is it? Is it a burger shop that sells pizza? Is it a pizza shop that sells burgers? What is the concept? So that all that needs to be identified and put into this plan. When it comes to location, there's a couple things. And I believe in, there's luck. You can be sitting at the right place at the right time and somebody has something, there's a restaurant closing and they need distress money to get out and it's a perfect location for your concept. Or you put yourself a real estate agent, you give him the parameters, you give him what you're looking for, and he finds it. Because in the end, real estate can vary. The money can vary. You can have something for $100,000, you can have something for $300,000 per year or per annum. 103 in your P&Ls is different. So I mean, everything is there. That's another thing which got me to thinking. Another thing that's very important, or I think it helps, have assumptions. You have yourself an assumption plan. I call them if and then statements. It's maybe not correctly, but if and then statement. If this many visitors.
I call them IFTTT.
Exactly.
If this, then that.
If this, then that. Exactly. So we do that, and that way, at least your model is there of what you got. So the real estate agent got you this with this square footage, with this amount. You can plug it in there and say, this is what we're looking at. Does it make sense? Does that make sense? 30% is intelligence. Normal logical information, which can help. And then the rest is statistics and whatnot.
So location, location, location. This is very important.
It is, but I don't think it's what it used to be. Because it used to be the number one, or at least top three, that needs to be location. And it was exactly that. I remember in my marketing days, location, location, location. Four P's, all of that. I don't think so right now. You have establishments that we go to, that we frequent, that we don't go to any place else there except that establishment. We've never set foot in the hotel if it's in a hotel. We've never set foot in the mall if it's in a mall or at the bottom of a mall. We've never set foot anything around there. We just go there. So it's a destination. I think word of mouth in this day and age is by far one of the biggest assets you have helping you. So I'm not too sure that it's location, location. It is location, location, location when it comes to financial. Is it in a mall? How much money does it cost? Does it make sense? Because you got your footfall. If you're going outside of the mall, great. Cheaper price because it's not in a mall, because it's not in a highly populated place. But do you think you can draw the crowds with what you're offering? Which is risky, obviously, because you may think, you know, everybody toots their own horn, and maybe that horn is not as fruitful for other people. So it is a balance, and that's why I think the sheets help and those assumptions help, so you can always see where you're at.
Size of a burger shop. It can start at 1x1, 2x2, 3x3, and go up and up and up. It can start by a small shack, a food truck, all the way up to a restaurant.
Yeah.
What is the average or needed size of a burger shop?
Again, it goes to your concept. So if your concept is a truck, then you've got a truck. If it's a seated restaurant, number of seats is very important, because two things factor in there. A, the turnaround. A lot of people have that. And if you notice, a very well-established restaurants from the likes of Zuma, from the likes of Orfale Brothers, when you reserve, and if there's reservation or not, you've got a 2-hour. Why? Because they want to flip the tables. They want to flip the seats. So that's very important to know, number of seats. Personally, it's for me, it wouldn't be, if I opened up a place, it wouldn't be many, many, many seats. It would be comfortable, sort of 15, 20, something like that. Four tabletops, two tabletops, as we call them in the industry. A counter would be great, because I still would like to bring in that authentic burger feel.
Portugal style, diner style.
Exactly. But it doesn't mean that it has to look 1920s and it has to be 1920s and whatnot. It just needs to be good enough. With the storefront, of course, the ideal place, again, I'm talking my hypothetical, would be not embedded in a place, meaning you walk into this mall, strip mall establishment, it's not on the outside, you have to go in, go through another one, go upstairs, go that. It would ideally be storefront. So size really has to matter. But something very important that I've worked on in the past when I was, I had a franchise called The Counter Burger earlier in the days. It was so important, the kitchen versus the outside dining area. It was very important to understand that space, because without understanding what you're doing, which goes back to the concept, without understanding what you're actually going to churn out or what you're going to cook, the layout is very important. When you're on the grill, everything should be next to you. If you got to go walk here to go get whatever, the meat and whatnot, and then walk back, those are all lack of efficiency. So efficiency is very important, and it takes us back to the McDonald's days. Remember the movie, how they drew it with chalk.
The founder.
Yeah. The founder, the movie The Founder, drew everything with chalk, and they practice.
Golden question. If I have 100 square meters and I have to take a decision, kitchen versus seating space, would I focus on giving more space for the kitchen or more space for welcoming clients?
It needs to be a proper balance, because if you crunch your kitchen space, you won't be able to give your 100%, and you have a wide area to invite all those guests. First time, they don't like it, they won't come back. You're gonna look at it empty outside. More kitchen, that's a good problem to have because you have a plethora of people running out and you have a line and they want more, they want more. Maybe that could be a
So back to the smallest size. So let's say street food market shack, usually 3x3. Would that be enough to open up a burger shop or do you need a preparation area?
Is it for street food or a shop?
Street food.
Street food, 3x3, we work on 3x3s.
You can prepare everything in it.
In a 3x3, again, based on your menu. So when we do big events that, come in, I don't know, let's say small, medium, large, but let's say large, somewhere between 300 burgers to 800 burgers a day, you make sure you have one type of burger that you're doing, or maximum two that just requires you to remove something. But to have a full-fledged menu, no, it's not at all required, not at all. And three by three is quite small to consider it a restaurant feel or something like that. But as for an event, a one-day event, absolutely, you can do
something. I'm gonna ask about the equipment needed, but before that, let me ask for another one. So we build up to the next question. Would a burger shop survive selling one item? Do you believe so? Or you need to have a varied menu?
In-N-Out sells one item with multiple layer of beef and with cheese, without cheese. So, I mean, the short answer is you could. The logical answer is probably not in this day and age due to the competition, due to demand, due to different taste palettes to really do it. Hamburger America opened up for George Motz, the father of burgers, who dedicated half his life around the U.S. and other places. He ran his events based on his fried Oklahoma burgers, based on the fried Oklahoma burgers. And his shop sells that. That's what they sell, single and double. But they have burger of the month. You got to have a little bit more, I think, nowadays. I don't think you can survive on one.
We decided to open the shop. We reached a point where our shop is going to be 100 square meters. And then comes the kitchen. What are the equipment needed in a kitchen?
Looking at the menu, if the menu requires doneness, let's say, so it's if there's a thick burger on our menu that requires some thickness, then we would require a little bit more equipment, I would say. Definitely flat top, a grill, and some sort of oven, a Josper or a Mibrasa or something like that to kind of get the insides done, and then you can sear it or reverse sear it.
For time efficiency. So when 100%. You open a restaurant and you have
fridges, chillers,
of waiting, definitely a grill alone won't do. So you need kind of an oven to cook or to heat up the meat on the inside, instead of overcooking it.
Yeah.
And so grill top, ovens continue.
Yeah. And very important, two very important things: storage. People overlook storage, even in our shop in AUD. I feel we can have more storage. And I've got a three bay, it's three bay. You know what three bay meaning? One, you walk, two, you walk, three. So you got our dry storage, our refrigeration, and then our shop frontage right there. I still feel we need storage. And I mean for everything, not just for the meat or for the condiments or the vegetables and whatnot. So you can never not have too much storage. So think of the storage, think of how you put it, where you put it. Again, make it efficient. How is it placed? Do you have to walk three times to get to it, or do you walk two? Or do you have one that's here that you replenish during the day and you're set for at least minimum half the day and then do another one for another shift versus you have to go in, out, go in, out. Second is, and this is very important, and we learned this the hard way, which is always the best. The dip case, deli counter case, or whatever, that holds your toppings. People overlook that. Where am I going to...
You cannot open up
where am I gonna
a
put
fridge
them?
And...
Absolutely. So everything, the mise en place has to be done properly, and you have to have them properly chilled, of course, everything to a municipality with the different temperatures and the measurement that we have to do, twice a day, whatever it is, with the thermometers that are calibrated.
So just finalize the equipment, grill, oven.
Storage, refrigeration.
Countertop to work in on.
Yeah, for sure, counter space, yes. Counter space, tables are very
open
important.
Open fridge so you can grab your condiments and ingredients.
Yeah, one of the best is If you can get your drawer fridges, those are very efficient to have your meat, your cheese right there. So it's an arm's, basically an arm's length or arm's reach to have your immediate service in that sense.
Not freezer or no freezer?
I mean, it could be freezer or no freezer. It depends. If you're doing frozen fries, which you know, they're not that bad. Everybody, they're not that bad when you talk about what you're doing, what you're selling, who you're selling it to. Or you're doing all fresh. So there are some times where you do need freezer space. Yeah. It all depends, really. It all depends.
Let's not forget the hood.
The?
Hood, the suction, the extension.
It's very important. Absolutely.
Give me more details. It's not like anyone. You're doing fat, you're doing evaporation, you're doing sticky items. That is something
we can even go.
It's not only the smell, but it's only all the vapor that goes out.
Yeah.
How do you think of it? Power.
100%. And placement. So I've seen kitchens where the hood is not where it should be. So placement is important. And we want to go zoom deeper. The floor. What type of floor are you having for your staff? Is it slippery? Is it dangerous when it's wet? So you have to wait until it's dried. You need to get the rubber, the mats for comfortability of the back at the same time, anti-slip. The drainage. It's very important. Where is the drainage? I've been in places where there's no drainage in the kitchen where they wash the stuff, but there's drainage outside in front of the people. Doesn't make sense. Ice, if you've got your beverage. Filters are huge. The water is not drinking water. Let's, you know, not pretend that it is or it's good enough or I can just boil it. We don't do that. In our shop, we don't do anything that needs to be boiled. We use proper water. But I have filters that whatever the machine recommendation is and from the manufacturer and from the supplier says 1 year, automatically cross it out, make them sign it, 6 months. I don't like to play around with filters. So filters is very important. The filter of the hood, there are different types of filter, ultraviolet to get rid of everything. How far, another thing, how far are you from the roof? If it needs to go six stories, you better have a fantastic machine that can do it. And sometimes, even in our case, we've got two. One takes it here, hands it over, the other one takes it so it can spit it out. So all of these, there's so many things that you can go into micro. Table space, your equipment, i.e. your cutlery or your kitchen equipment from knives. You know, we all know a dull knife is worse than a sharp knife, by far. Not even like by far, it's worse. Again, storage, rotation, first in, first out. What should be done? What should not be done the day before or the next day? If we're gonna do our own buns, what kind of oven do we have? Is it a steamed combi oven? You know, all kinds of things. So equipment,
cutlery versus disposable.
Again, depending on the concept.
Depending on the space. Let's start by depending on the space.
Yeah, this space, which defined by the concept. Because if it's I want them to enjoy and you have plates or it's going to be on a nice tray.
Because it comes with thrown. Storage, it comes with cleaning, it 100%. Comes with
a washing machine. Lots of comes with. And that's extra staff. That then you're talking about some restaurants then would require, as you said, a dishwashing machine or a washing machine. Some don't need it. You just have your thing, you do it, and you do it. So all of these factors need to be taken care of, and it's so best not to do what a lot of us do, and I don't mean this just in burger restaurants, but in any kind of construction, any kind of ownership. We do it while we go, or we do it afterthought. So it becomes an afterthought, and it becomes a nightmare because sometimes the piping, the pull, it just takes extra money, loss of time, and it doesn't look right because it's not encastré or it's not hidden properly, you know, when you put your electricity, all of that plumbing has to be thought of. It's a lot, but once you get it right, what a fantastic feeling.
Good air conditioning,
yeah, 19, maximum 21, maximum, everybody knows me.
I've been to restaurants where the developers do not, let me say it as is, I've been to a country where in the mindset, we do not put air conditioning in the kitchen because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And
kitchen will,
it's boiling
of course.
Inside.
Not only that, if you're grinding your own meat.
Air conditioning in the kitchen before outside. Air conditioning in the kitchen is something very important. And it should be a separate unit than the one outside.
Yeah, not connected. 100%. 100%. Staff, your staff, do they have same fridge for whatever it is? All these things need to be looked at.
Resting space and changing room for the staff.
Yeah, definitely. I think little lockers or whatnot needs to be. They come in with bags just like you come in. They come in with backpacks and everything. They need to. Your staff is your main asset. 100%. Without your staff, you have nothing. You can have the best burger recipe, the best sauce recipe. Without staff, you're going to do it. Only you.
Yeah. For a 100 square meter restaurant, how many staff do you need?
You know, I'm going to give you a different way of answering that. Think of a food court. Our shop is like a food court. So you come in, disposable. You come in, get your tray, and then you throw your stuff out. So you come into the desk, and we have an open kitchen and everything there. I've got six. Got one on the cashier, two interchangeable on the grill, including myself. I'm hands-on. We've got a dedicated kitchen steward, which is the one who does the cleaning and whatnot, and another one who helps on all the things. They are all intertrained. This is a very interesting topic. Let's take 1 minute on this, 2 minutes on this. The rule of thumb, your staff, the guy who does the grill, can he do a sandwich? Or just he does the grill and only? My experience, it's just my experience, so you can't, it's my experience, you can't, you know. In a small operation like ours, they are trained on two things, but I try as much as I can to keep them and not interchange them whatsoever. But if something happens, they can jump in. It was very interesting because from my reading, from my experience, from watching, you kind of have to have them do what they do and that's it.
Focusing on one thing and doing it right.
Yeah, he's not, you know, to the point where you have these big chains, you have a guy who puts the cheese. It's not the same guy who puts the thing. You have the guy who builds. It's not the same guy, he does it, he puts the thing and then he builds it and then he gives it to you.
And if you want to teach them to do everything, pay attention, never ever let the same person who handles money handle food.
Of course.
So cashier is cashier.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Yeah, in smaller ones, trucks and whatnot, when we were doing, I was at Ben & Jerry's, I worked for Ben & Jerry's and we had a small shop in Lebanon. The scoopers, we call them scoopers, they are the ones who greet you, help you taste and get what you want, scooped it, walked you over holding it, because you don't want to give it to them first, holding it to the cashier, punches in his ID number and does it. We didn't have cashiers. Was it efficient? Was it not? It was a long time ago. It was for that one, but I think for an operation like this, we need a cashier, a dedicated cashier.
How many?
Shifts too, huh? Don't forget about shifts. It's very important.
So six during one shift?
For us, yes, because we only open from the morning till around 7, 6:30.
So if you open until 11, you have to have six times two.
100%.
And a backup.
Yes.
Not a backup team, but backup.
And you need to give them a day off. Or 2 days, depending on your concept.
So opening a restaurant starts with 15 employees at least.
Right, off the bat.
Good morning, 15 employees, and you need to have enough money to pay them for the next 3 to 6 months. So part of your investment, which let's imagine it's a million, we need to do the math and remove probably the first 100,000 for staff for the next 6 months, another 50 or 100,000 for marketing for the next 6 months. Yeah. So you start at 800, not at a million. So the mindset of where do we start is very important. So start from... You can start from, we have an idea and let's see how much would it cost. Or we can go with, I have a million in my pocket and I'm super passionate about doing burgers. Let's see with a million, what can I do? Yeah. So you start going down to 100 square meter to 50 square meter or not probably buying a used food truck. I can handle this, I can handle that, and then that million. So it's very important that the things you do not see, you cannot buy 100%. An equipment with or whatever, is... marketing and staff.
Yeah, and allocated exactly as you said, allocated properly, because it you know, to not be negative, it's a disaster. It really is challenging if you haven't earmarked these things, and easily your budget that you have can be plus and minus, but never spot on. Like it's
delivery versus not.
Oh.
And probably definitely in 2025, you have to deliver. But when would you start?
Yeah, delivery. Delivery is, for me, do you remember Mono? Do you remember, it was a restaurant called Le Mono or Mono or something on the corner where there was Chow. If you remember Chow.
Mono. Ashrafi, a long time, Beirut. Yeah.
The, one of the owners or manager, I don't remember. We used to go there a lot because it was part of our daily thing in Lebanon. For all you guys out there internationally or not, or doesn't know. J. Paul's movie on Sunday. We started very far, then we moved to Concord, if you remember, and that's where we did. And then we would go to J. Paul's, which is part of the Namura group. And Mano and Chow and Alekos, like, all these things are coming to me right now. I haven't said these words in 30 years, but anyways, I remember we spoke about, I don't know why we were on this subject, the salad. We used to go for the salad bar. There was a beautiful salad in Mano or something like that. And we talked about delivery, and I was watching him. And I noticed they did it right, and I've always kept that. It's a separate unit. It's treated as a separate unit. It has its own team. The food is not mixed. Maybe the base, if it's, again, we're talking about the burger, but the toppings, everything is different, and it gets churned out. So one, in terms of efficiency and temperature-wise, was monitored. And second, it was almost like a different P&L. How much are you generating from delivery versus it's all part of it and it's part of the same system and same POS? That's one sort of takeout that I got. To go and answer yes, no, yes, no. When it comes to burgers, we eat it. We eat French fries. I don't like delivery on French fries. I have never gotten a French fry delivered, not car or anything that is on par in terms of
that. I'm going to develop on that point, yeah. Which is a spot on. Many restaurants and many fast food chains around Dubai have created a different floor just for delivery.
Oh, there you
so
go.
Yeah. I would give it as an example. Berber has, when you go in, the whole probably 400 square meter of fast food, and then another floor that is only for delivery. Yeah. So whenever you're ordering a shawarma, you know that you're in line for the shawarma and you're not waiting for 10 delivery orders before you. Exactly. So there's another shawarma for delivery and one for you. And the same for burgers. So imagine you at the university having 5 orders waiting and then they see 15 patties on the grill. They would say, okay, wait.
Where's mine? I can see it there. Oh, that's not yours.
Sorry, there is a delivery before you or I cannot, the driver has arrived or whatever. So it's very important on that part. I have talked several times thinking food before Instagram and food after Instagram, because food has changed after photography. Mm-hmm. And then came food before COVID and food after COVID, because food has changed before after COVID, yes, due to delivery. And thinking of food through delivery is way different. Eman Ushe has a different taste, yes, and a different recipe for it to last 30 minutes under the sun. Burgers have a different shape and a different approach to. Meat has a different approach to. If you're delivering pasta or pasta done in-house, is a different thing. So when you think of delivery, you need to have it a separate entity, yeah, where you think packaging, you think delivery, you think juiciness, you think meat, mm-hmm, you think lots of other things. So yes, I wanted to ask you that question.
Yeah.
Is burger a deliverable item or not? And that development would be yes, but with 10 to-dos, or 100%. No, if you do not know what you're doing.
And if you don't know what you're doing, and the way that I would think about delivery, and you had in there when, definitely not together, not when you open. You need to make sure that your house is clean, your house is proper, and then you invite people in, they like it, they talk about it, and then you're ready to do, let's say, launch a delivery. Personally, unscripted, I would not do delivery, let's say, with the same menu. It could be a different menu that helps and cater to those 10 items that you're talking about. Packaging,
and
smash burger versus this burger.
You.
And keep coming to you.
You do something amazing, which I respect, is your signature burger is not sold at the shop.
Yeah, it's not.
For people to keep on coming to the events.
Yeah, we don't have the fried onion burger. We have a smash burger, but it's not it's 100%. We do that for events, for the people, for the public, for everybody to enjoy in that sense.
When you open up a restaurant and you start serving lunch burgers probably around 12, yeah, how many hours of pre-preparation would you need?
We're there at 9, even 8:30 sometimes, and we do the mise en place in the morning. And we, for our day, we probably will do it twice. So it's interesting. It's very interesting, and it's interesting that lends to this burger shop or whatnot. Our business, the main Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 12:30-ish to 3. Everything is done. Like, that's where we do everything. A nice little break. And then 5:30. They come back in, which is interesting. Because if you do the number of hours, it's not much. The numbers are being made, whatever they are, as what we have set. You think of that on an offsite or a different place. Wow. Wow. Potential is huge.
This is a bonus episode because we should have stopped a couple minutes ago.
Yes.
But we're going to continue and push it because I believe there are lots of unanswered questions yet. Mm-hmm. So opening up your restaurant, the discussion started with what and how. And we agreed now that we're talking about the restaurant itself or the diner itself, the burger shop itself. Before going back to the food truck and all the do's and don'ts of a food truck, what are the permits you need for a restaurant?
Yeah, there's lots of permits. So you've got first of all, you've got your staffing permits in terms of the visas. You need, this is a true experience. You are not done, guys. When you have the Emirates ID for your staff and everything seems fine. There's a one step left, which is they need to go watch a video, and there's a little bit of a fee that's paid for it per employee at Toji. Once that's done, then you get yourself the labor card. So you need to get your labor card. There are several checks that are done to the site. A, the site has exactly what is, and I say exactly, I mean exactly, like if you put the ice machine here, it cannot be here. As your floor plan that you submit to start this process with the municipality. So they'll come, they'll check it, make sure it's all right. And of course, within that, check why and where and what have you put, hood. You have to make sure that your employees are part of something called Food Watch. Food Watch is the entity now that oversees all of the restaurant in the Dubai, and there's an equivalent one in Abu Dhabi. And everybody's registered part of that, and you have something called a PIC, very important, which is the person in charge. So that could be you, that could be as an owner, that can be your head chef, your head guy, your GM, whatnot. And that person has to go through several certification, and of course the health cards and whatnot, the normal insurance and whatnot. But yes, there are certain ones, and those are done periodically, let's say once a year for everything. Your license is a two-year license. I'm not sure, maybe you can get a bigger one, but ours is a two-year license or a longer one. That needs to be renewed, and with the renewal, everything that I talked about gets done again. Your establishment card, your signature card, your employees' visas, them checking, quotas. Again, important. They'll come in, they'll check your square footage, they'll check what you're serving. They will give you 15, we want 15, and you might get 7. You might get 7 based on them. And then you have to go and talk to them and tell them, oh, this is what it is. Look at this is what my purchasing power has been over the last 3 weeks. Please increase the quota and whatnot and do that. So there are certain parameters and hoops that you need to be jump through. And all of those are items that need to be financially tagged. I don't want to say burden or anything. You need to make sure that you account for them. All of them should be accounting for.
The entities. What are the entities you need to work with? Municipality?
Municipality, the food and beverage, fire department, civil defense, of course, for the fire extinguishers, and your hood, and to make sure that you have your, if, God forbid, something happened, yeah, that it's working properly, and it's done from something very important. All your suppliers in the setup and fit up have to be municipality approved. So they have to show you. You need to tell them, are you municipality? And they show you a certificate. Yes, I am. Of course, drilling down, pest control.
Insurance.
Insurance for sure. Pest control and grease trap. Grease trap and pest control twice a month, depending on your usage. And all of those are registered. The visits are tagged to Food Watch, and they call you. Hi, you have one tomorrow. Who are you? You look, it says municipality. And you're just like, oh, okay. They know everything. So all this has to be done.
Yeah. Food safety companies, sometimes we bypass them. Sometimes we work with them. They come in, do the training for all the staff. They're probably sometimes required, sometimes not too required. It's an additional investment.
Yes.
And how important this is.
Yeah, I feel it's very important. It teaches your staff, gives them, let's say, a leg up. At the same time, you're giving them the autonomy to grow. I mean, how you can grow. You're, you know, the biggest thing is, if they go somewhere else, obviously within your permission and whatnot, and they do something, that's an achievement. So always room for growth. And at the same time, overall company morale and establishment will be a better offering. It's almost, you know, you've got ISO for other industries and whatnot, and here the more that they get certified, the better. It is an investment. You can get HACCP certified, and I think it's necessary in your journey.
Back to the original one. So we had $1 million dirham.
Could
we
be opened, sometimes, by the way, $1 million. Yeah.
We had $1 million dirham. If we're having a franchise and you have to, to account for the franchise fees, the 100%. Percentage for the franchise,
yes.
Franchise for opening one store, the minimum requirement of how many stores are you allowed?
Yes, there's a minimum requirement. Yes. Territorial. Yeah.
So sometimes you start by buying the franchise is $1 million and then, okay, wait, all my money is out. So start again and redo it again. Good or bad having a franchise or not having a franchise. And most importantly, at the end, before we forget about it, is the social media, am I allowed to open my own account? Am I part of a franchise? Would they handle it for me? Would I handle it? Do I need to work with an outside company of marketing, or should I hire one person in-house to do the marketing for me, photography, et cetera, et cetera? Well, we can talk for hours. Marketing for a restaurant, we can talk for hours. So back to, I don't have $1 million, I only have 100 or 200, and I decided to do a food truck. And that food truck is a restaurant of its own. Can I drive it everywhere? Can I put it everywhere? Do I need some justifications to have it, some paperwork, whatever?
As far as my knowledge at the time of this, it is not done in the UAE the way that it's done in the States, where you can actually say, listen, I'm on Crenshaw and Third Street, meet me there, and then next week I'm gonna jump to here and jump to there and follow me and make this whole social journey and social media, just boom. Here, the trucks go to a destination, get the permits for the destination, and there could be more than one permit. It could be the permit to operate and the permit from the place itself. And so NOCs and all that, all these words, you'll hear them, but you need to understand NOCs and the various permits. And they go there for the duration. You get your permit to operate for the duration of the time. If it's a permanent, and permanent is 3 to 1 year, Miras, you can go, you see all those food trucks there, but you see them stationary. Nothing has changed. There's
it's
the hitches there.
Truck, but yeah. It doesn't move.
Absolutely. So you got your 100 or 200,000, invest in a really good 3x3 tent that can close rather than do the food truck, because you're not utilizing the food truck. I mean, it's a joke, but you guys, I'm sure, get what I mean. Like, there are certain things, whatever investment you have, you really need to look at how far can that take me and what how efficient can I be within the amount. So here, yes, we do have food truck communities, and there's a lot of communities. Last Exit, there's one near the meadows and the lakes and whatnot, and there's a lot of events. But those are, you hitch it or you drive it if it's a food truck that's drivable. You go there, you get your permits, you stay there for the duration, and you do your business. So you need to have, so it's not anymore you're investing in a truck. You might have to invest in three trucks because you want to be in three different places and not simultaneously. I mean, you want to be in and not, I'll be here this year, next year here, or next month I have another one, but I'm losing out wherever.
So this food truck we're talking about needs to have an original parking, a storage house,
of course,
and probably a preparation kitchen.
So it's, yes, it, depending on how much you put out, of course. You can't, I mean, for a one-day event, maybe you can do everything in one truck. But if you're talking about it, you definitely need to have that, for sure. So, I mean, it gets up there. The cost gets up there to see, again, what are you willing to invest? Because a lot of people will say it's much cheaper than rent. But when you look at it over the year and then put the numbers together, you can really assess, is this something for me, or I need to upgrade and get myself a shop?
What's the average food cost one needs to work around?
Average food cost? I would say probably, so your COGS, your cost of goods, which is the food, is probably going to be, if you're doing okay, if you can get it between 27 and 30, I want to say 35 max, but like 27, 31, 30 is a sweet spot. You can do that. Anything below, you're killing it. Fantastic. Like, yeah. And I'm sure there are certain items that have these kind of costs that are below. But when we're talking about the burgers itself, you know, the protein, the bread, the cheese, what kind of vegetables you have on. Don't forget the sauce. Don't forget the napkin. Don't forget the packaging. Don't forget the plate. If there's a plate, don't forget the tray that you bought. Yeah, you bought it and you amortize it, you know. And then don't forget what I call, can I get another ketchup? Can I get more sauce? Can I get hot sauce? And they do it brilliantly after. So when they're done and you're smiling and you're saying, thank you, enjoy it, they come, they go, they turn around, they come back and say, can I get, and you're at that point, you know, you're either strict and say, absolutely, one dirham, two dirham, whatever, or you say, yeah. Yes, and you put it on there. That cost, that little motion there, cost that I found out very fast. So there are a lot of costs that I mean. So if you can get in there between 27 and 35, let's say, you're doing right. When you're creeping up, you know, past that, it's a bit dangerous.
So at the end of the day, you probably have a profit of 20 to 30%. And
there.
You look at it and say, yeah, I'm going to buy my next car. Please wait. You need to look at different details in the business. Yeah. Fixing equipment, changing equipment.
100%. Reinvesting.
So how would you think, would you distribute your profit at the end of the month, at the end of the year? Would you put a fixed salary to you as an owner and keep everything in the business? Nobody knows how it goes.
Good questions. Yes, absolutely good questions. Would you put your a salary for yourself? If you're working, if you're taking place of another human being that you're going to have to hire and get the visas for and give insurance for, absolutely you need to put a salary. Now, you're the owner. Do you put the same exact amount that you can? It's up to you and your ownership of how much you actually want to at the end of the day, and you might take a lesser one than hired, but you need to be compensated for that. That's for sure. I'm a firm believer of that. At the same time, it's all relative, because if you're not working in it, then you go ahead and look at it from a different angle. Payback and how much investment that you're going to get in dividends if you do it. Again, it needs to be agreed with whoever. If you have partners, if you don't have partners, great. But it needs to be agreed. First year, it's a discovery year. There's like in my eyes, if you can pay for everything, you're in the zone of making your cost of goods work, and you have a profit, and you have enough profit to put for whatever you need for next year, after that, distribute and have, fantastic, albeit. But the first year, for sure, is something that needs to be reinvested, look at and assess. Because first year, there are so many things. And remember we talked about 3 to 6 months? Those 3 to 6 months, let's take the further one, 6 months. That's all discovery. You haven't done anything yet. So you haven't really worked yet in terms of what you can do until after 6 months. After a year, though, having said all of that, can you stop and look and say, oof, how is this thing going? Yeah, I don't think you need 3 years as some, you know, 3 years to churn a profit. It's a long 3 years of paying and paying and paying and paying. You should have an outlook on what it is, but enough to make changes to help for next year. So it's very important to do 6 months, 1 year, stop gaps, as we call them, and measure. You measure it. You measure what is done.
Menus. How many times a year would you change your menu?
I don't think you should. If you're doing well, meaning you're not at that stopgap that says everything's going to, you shouldn't change your menu. You can add things, you can remove things that aren't profitable or aren't selling. And then again, it's always good. Like I was saying, you can do a burger of the month, you can do a special, you can do winter specials, summer specials and whatnot to add that variety that you're kind of looking for.
When do you reach a point when you say, okay, this item is not working, I need to kill it?
I mean, you'll see that. You'll see that from you'll see that straight from the sales. You'll see that from word of mouth. Yeah, I tried it. I've never tried it. I don't think I ever want to. I don't. I go to them for that, you know. And that's why menu is very important to, you know. It's hard for a burger shop. It's easier for me, let's say, students, because I kind of understand and relate, and I'm there with them 24/7. Like I know who's dating who. I know who broke up with who. These teenagers, like, it's so funny. It's harder for the restaurant because you're open for everybody. So, but you really need to know your audience. You really need to know your audience. And you can do that reverse. What you're serving, you know what type of audience should be susceptible to come back to you for that or to come try it. You know, serving only fish burgers, okay. You know the audience who like that, who don't like that. So your menu is quite important to define your audience.
Printed menus, written menus, or digital menus?
Yeah, I've done both. And again, it's not a tool because they don't read, they don't see. It's in front of them, the digital one. They don't look at it. I have to take it out from the desk because I'm trying to be modern, and I give them it and they look at it. For me, personally, I like traditional. You know, maybe we should have both to be sign of the times, maybe. But I like holding. I love the working with the five senses: touch, smell, taste.
Restaurants are taking advantage of what happened during COVID and said, okay, wait, since COVID, we removed menus during COVID and people are now used to QR code and all the digital things. So why not keep it this way? Yeah. And I cannot imagine, I hate it when I go to a restaurant, have to look at my phone to look at the menu when it all takes probably a couple cents to print something and feel it the way you said, 5 cents, read it, feel it, touch it, turn it around, play with it or whatever, or look at it and say, okay, we want to order this with me. So yes, printing, in my opinion, all the way. Yeah. I love digital, new digital boards, menus, McDonald's 100%. Style. And the beauty of them, digital menus are not your screen at home. No. There is a screen for that. Yeah. The screens at home have hours of work. They get black after a certain amount of time. They're not well or enjoyable to read when the sun goes on them. So there are screens made for menus at restaurants. And those screens are connected to the internet. So from your phone and your application, you can say, I want the menu that is breakfast menu between 8 and 10. I want a coffee menu between 10 and 12. And I want a digital menu between, a lunch menu between 12 and 3. And the beauty about them, you don't have to change every time. You don't have to have a graphic design every time or change the prices every time. Okay. So the beauty of a digital menu is just removing one item or doing one item. In all franchises around the world, the big ones, if they have 50 stores, it's just one press away.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Yeah.
1200.
And on the flip side of that, or the same side, let's say, and I'll flip, you're out of something or you need to change the price for whatever reason, you can do it. You don't need to wait to have a graphic designer help you and finish it and mess up everything up and then go print it. You can do it on the spot.
How would you price? Do you look at competition? Are customers willing to pay anything?
Very good question. Very good question, I think, because I think price matters. I think people are willing to pay, so that sometimes people will get hesitant to raise it higher than what they feel it should be. Don't. You have a product, you know what it is, people will pay. People will pay for two things, hospitality and the taste. Yes, ambiance, experience, that's all wrapped in it, but don't be afraid to get your prices up. At the same time, know your audience. My prices, AUD, are different than outside. One thing I'm doing properly is the product is still high end and I'm still delivering that same product, which I would never change. Can I even go higher? Absolutely. This new place, maybe we'll go higher. So I think definitely look at the competition, see what it is, see what's around you and what you're offering. You know?
I'll add to that two things. One, you need to be a great marketer to market what you sell so people know the ingredients that you're using.
Yes.
You can sell a burger at 30, at 20, and probably another one at 60. I would pay 60 if I know what I'm paying for. If you know how to market yourself and letting me know, why would I pay 60 for it? You need to understand who are your customers. Students, normal people living in the country, or tourists. And always tourists pay more.
Yes.
So are you selling for tourists? You can go up whatever you want. And usually tourists are not on a budget.
Kind 100%.
Of. Yeah. Students are way on a budget. So would you want to sell them more at lower prices? Mm-hmm. Would you want to do more profit on the items that have more profit on it? Would you want to follow the trends and introduce new trends so they come to you, not to competition around you? So there are lots of things you need to work around accordingly to create something that people would want and are willing to pay for.
100%, I agree 100%, because it's so the price varies with what you're offering. And offering doesn't mean just the burger, what you're offering. Your service, your hospitality, and I use those two separately, they're not the same thing. Your location, your ambiance, plates, no plates, whatnot.
In a city that has more than 24,000 food establishments.
Which one, sorry?
Dubai, in a city that has more than 24,000 food establishments, 18,000 of them are on the online delivery platform. Do you think in 2025, there is still place for people to open new restaurants?
I think there's always a place for somebody to open restaurants. It's about can they sustain. And at the same time, the cloud kitchens or the ones that are online, I feel it's very challenging for them because they're fighting a fight that is so hard. Because when you open up any kind of platform or aggregator, without using any names, anyone, and you just, they have the types, burger,
oof,
625. How do you take the time to go through them? So if you're a newcomer, his chance are very, his or her chance is very, very hard. I'm giving you my example. I'll look at them a little bit. And I'm hungry, I want to eat. I go to my main guys. I go to the people that I know and I've ordered before, even though the fries weren't that great, even though the experience was still cold, we still go back. So we're creatures of habit. So they're fighting against that. So again, what you said is very important, which is marketing. You can't expect, don't expect miracles because you're on a platform and you pay the 20 dirhams to make sure that your thing pops up and you're right next to them. You'll get clicked. And you'll pay for that. But if they don't click you.
You need to be famous offline or out of the platform.
For something. Doesn't mean you have to have a shop. For something. This guy, I know him. I've met him at this event. This person, I know. Something. Otherwise, it's really hard just from the pictures. Pictures will be very good and pretty. But in the end, I don't want to use name, but like Freddy's Johnson Burgers. Looks awesome. No, today's not the day that I want to try it. Let's go. Boop. My usual suspect. And I lost him.
How much?
And I won't see him again next time because he didn't want to pay the thing to make. Because remember, you have a fee to put you up in that feed among those top choices or sponsored or low delivery fee. Oh, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's competing against the same thing.
How much would you offer free food?
General rule is none. But a little tip from our Ben and Jerry's days, very interesting. I give, you're a scooper, we're open, and a guy comes in and gives you a Häagen-Dazs coupon, 50% off. What do you do? I don't want you to answer, I want to tell you what happened with us. We were a group. Kick him out, no way, we won't. I would tell him, listen buddy, you're in the wrong shop, ha ha ha, this is Ben and Jerry's. Wrong. Did you pay for the coupon to print it? Did you waste any money doing it? No. Is he a customer that's in your shop? You brought him here without doing anything and he walked in? Yes. 50% to give him a taste of something that you know will do wonders and he will have a 50% to purchase? Yes. You honor it. You honor all of them. That was, for me, that was a revelation. He went to the. He came in with Midas. Midas is a oil change in the States. He has a Midas touch for 10%. Honor it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't do the. You didn't waste all that money, and you have a guy in your shop.
That's free marketing.
Ready to 100%. So it's yes and no. I mean, you don't want to do it where you start losing because it's a loss. That is a loss. You've paid for it. Your cogs are zero in that sense, or are 100%. Not much. Buy one, get one. It really depends on your concept and if it fits. And if it does, based on how many times, you know, when you look at it and say, okay, you're doing a combo meal, but the combo meal is much more profitable than individually, let's push the combo meal. So in that sense, it could work. It's if you buy them individually and it's 10 or 12 dirhams more and you lose that 10 or 12, but as a package, you're average ticket went up, could be a good thing.
Fountain drinks for more profit or cans?
Fountain drinks. Fountain drinks all the way. A, it's crispier if it's done properly. Two, you're gonna have 3%, 5% who abuse it and drink 4. But based on your statistics and based on the average weight and grams of what goes in, 3 to 4 becomes your can price with the ice. So, fountain drinks. These are little tips that guys.
We've been talking great things about burgers, Burgers Unscripted, in all the episodes of 30 Minutes, but this one was special. I had this one of my favorite. I wanted so much to talk about it and been waiting to do it. A 1 hour episode, twice the time of all the others, about what can you expect, what to expect, how to go on that journey of opening a restaurant or a burger shop. Hard, easy, everything's easy, and everything's hard if you do it wrongly. Everything's easy if you love it. Food is not an investment. Food is a passion. If you have some money and want to do an investment, you'll definitely do more profit in real estate. And you'll definitely have less chances to lose it. Food, restaurants, business is all about passion. And from the passionate burger maker himself, all you have to know to open your shop in Dubai, with hints and tricks and a journey of learning for the last couple of years. Burgers Unscripted continues. And we're loving it.